To the class of 2023, The Body Shop would like to share this advice for living more resiliently. Be kind to yourself. Know that the knockbacks and setbacks will ultimately help you thrive. Change your mind, loudly and often. Breathe. Your kitchen is your disco. Hit that dance floor whenever you can. Help your skin thrive with the Edelweiss skincare range from The Body Shop. Pop into store or shop online.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. That's what I hear when I make another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform that allows you to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. So sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/podcast23, all lowercase, and take your business to the next level today.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment. Last week on the Glass Cannon Podcast.
For the Ramius, Buggles, Lucky, Talitha, and Zephyr, amazing names, crest the hill with Dr. Riddleson.
Many are called.
But on the night of the missing moment, all over the world, an ancient network of magical portals called Ayudara came alive and beguiled all those nearby into stepping through.
Few are chosen.
And he looks at each of you and smiles fondly. He says, I have no doubt you can handle this investigation yourselves. Of all my field researchers, I believe you show the greatest promise for uncovering the secrets of this hidden world.
For the mission that lies ahead.
And she says, this is an aura recorder. I would like you to go to the town center and then use this to read the aura of one of the gates there.
Will require cunning.
What are each of your skills? You'll be fine.
And a leap of faith.
But
I mean, is it safe for our friend? There seems to be some question.
If you do not wish to go, none of us will look down on you. It is a great risk.
The adventure continues.
Are we going to Seven Arches?
Woo!
Now.
Cannon Podcast. We got the episode one fanfare and jitters out of the way, and now we can just go back to limping subpar content out of the gate.
It's our goal.
Yeah, there was so much hype about episode one. Now let's just go back to basics and really just do an episode where you shop.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Just shopping.
I'd like to do some healing. For character reasons, I started my character with half her HP.
Oh, that's fun.
That's fun.
So I need to just give her something to work against.
For character reasons.
We were going to do gear as part of character creation, but then we said, why don't we do it in an episode at a shop?
So fun.
Yeah. And we can debate with the shopkeeper what the prices are.
And we all need to go to different shops.
I want to spend party gold on healing materials and then start running around healing random NPCs.
It's very funny. And a lot of these adventures, like very early on, it'll be like, give the PCs time to shop. I'm like, they have not earned any gold.
With what?
Right, like what player doesn't spend every single cent they have at character creation?
Maybe they could. We could go role play a barter scenario. Like I'd be happy to wash your dishes if you allow me to have that buckler.
I think it's to incentivize stealing. I would just steal.
Please allow your party time to steal from the local shopkeeper.
Does anyone else look at profession skills like that are where you're rolling die to earn money and,
never
and think
once.
Like, I will never do that.
No,
ever,
I've never
ever
done
once,
it.
Ever.
No.
Yeah.
Well, we never have any downtime.
Yeah.
Right. Never have like time it? For a job.
Jordan doesn't believe in downtime in real life and in Pathfinder.
Also, usually your downtime is because you're traveling overland. You're not like near.
Or you're like you're getting surgery done to you for all like the horrible things that have happened to your organs.
Yeah, it's
like,
not an opportunity to pick up a temp gig.
In the middle of the wilderness.
Trying to burrow out the necrotic disease that's eating your body. Yeah, you don't have time to.
I mean, if we were doing an urban campaign, I might.
You know what could work? If like your character like supported a subscription service. So, like, they had birds that would just, like, come to them and then, like, deliver to, like, their subscribers. And it would be, like, a batch of herbs.
Are you describing, like, an influencer NPC?
I'm just trying to think of what would work. And
are
I
you
feel
trying
like
to get one of us to start a Substack?
I'm just saying, maybe it would work. And we can just, like, leaf collection. Or, like, we can make different types of oils based on wherever we are and the ingredients we have. And it's a subscription box. And it delivers once a month.
That's not a bad idea.
That idea costs you all money that I gave you.
See, I knew this was going to end in Kate asking us for money. All you guys have to do is contribute $200 each, and I'll start something, and then find a couple friends to contribute money to you.
I'll take 5% of everything y'all make.
I bet you would.
This sounds like a great pyramid. Guys, hear me out. I think she's onto something. I think we should all invest.
Yeah.
So give me $500.
Yeah, the profession skill is, it's. I think it's used more in like society play.
Sure,
time to time. Do they even have the, does it work the same way in second edition?
I don't even know.
We don't
every
even
time
look
I get
it.
To that page of the rule book, I'm like, and skip that page.
It does come in time. At certain times, though, the adventure will be like, if someone has a profession blacksmith, let them roll it to find out if that sword is a weapon.
I mean, I'd take it for role-playing reasons.
Yeah.
If it's like, if it fits in with my character's like theme or backstory, like I would take it, but then I would never consider using it to find a job. Because it's like, your job is to go on the adventure. So it's like, there's always a real sense of urgency to all the adventures we play. There's never just like, well, you know, you have a couple of months until the next world-threatening incident, probably. So just hang out for a bit.
I have to get a part-time job. A couple of months.
Smoke them if you got them.
The whole point of adventuring is to not have a job.
I was like, I don't come to fantasy role-playing to find employment.
Clock in at a shift.
Exactly.
I would love to help out with this major adventure, but I've got a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
You're going to have to find another hero.
I'm covering for this other waiter. I gotta go in there.
I just love that heroes are defined as the people that quit their jobs and leave their family.
Those are the real heroes.
Seek gold in foreign cities. Yeah.
Those are the real heroes. Let me ask you, I got a bant topic idea here. It sounds very icebreakery, but if there was a day that you could relive in your life, what would it be? What was your, do you have like a favorite day that you've ever had? And you're like, man, if I could relive that day, I would immediately go back to this day.
Every day playing role-playing games with you, Troy.
Stop it. You don't mean it.
Bottle cap.
All right, we got Matthew's answer. There's got to be a, I mean, I imagine there's probably like, I've got a bunch of days. So it doesn't have to, I'm not going to hold
you. It's just such a trap question. You can't, you know.
I thought of one of me.
I've had multiple children. I, you know what I mean? I got married. I can't like pick these
days.
That's
why you have to pick one.
Pick your favorite child or your wife. How hard is that?
You know there's an answer.
Just go ahead and spit it
something
out.
Something came as soon as he said it and you're afraid.
You got one. What do you got?
Yeah. And it's weird because it doesn't, if I were to really sit down, I think I would have the same issue. I'd be like, so many wonderful things have happened. Why am I picking this? But I just thought of it. It's when I went to Japan with my older sister, just us. And we like backpacked from Tokyo to Hiroshima and like took the train and stopped at different cities and slept in hostels and Airbnbs and stuff.
And that all happened on one single
day. That was a hell of a day.
On the trip itself, I could think of a few days that just felt like...
Name one day.
Can you pick one of those?
One day we went...
You were in Kyoto.
Pick your favorite child.
No, I think we were in Tokyo. But we went to the Ghibli Museum. Mm. And like, you know, we woke up, we got egg sandwiches from a 7-Eleven in the morning and our coffees. It's popular there. It's not weird.
Where was this?
Japan.
They have eggs in Japan?
What?
Eggs in Japan.
What?
Dogs?
Of all the things in that sentence that you could have gotten hung up on.
I gotta go to Japan. They have eggs?
They have eggs?
I should go. And we just had a great day. We went to the Ghibli Museum, and I think we like went to a bar later that night and got like ramen or something. And it was just, if I could redo that day, it was so fun. And like, I wasn't thinking about anything else. I wasn't thinking about work when I come back home from the trip. You know, I was just having a great day with
my sister. You were there. You were present.
And that is a perfect day.
She lives far from me now. So it's like, when I think about that, I'm like, I want to hang out with her. I would love to do that again.
See, that's the thing. It's like, obviously, birth of a child, marriage, those are days you're never going to forget. But sometimes the days you want to relive are days like that, which, you know, otherwise mundane, but special.
Yeah.
Matthew, you must have one.
I mean, I'm trying to think. The hard part for me is that the thing I would want to change is the being in the momentness, right? Like, it's like, always be able to go back
never
and
goes
to
away.
That day of like the birth of a child or when I got married and not be thinking about the next thing.
Yeah.
It would just, I hate to like shit on your bad topic. It's a great topic. Mm-hmm. But like, the more I think about it, and I have a day, the more I think about it, I'm like, it would ruin the day. Like, if I went back and tried to do it again, I'd be like, and then I did this, and it was so fun and unexpected. Yeah. And it would just be like, ah, now it all feels manufactured.
You guys well, I think thinking way too hard about it.
I know.
You can relive it exactly.
It's overthinking.
And really just picking your favorite
day. Totally, 100%. I know.
You don't go back with the knowledge from the future. Yeah.
Right. You don't need that to is, do you could be, butterfly
like, I'm in hell. I'm in hell. Like, I'm trapped in my favorite day, and everything sucks. I know everything that's going to happen. It keeps happening over and over again.
I Groundhog Day'd my favorite day and I fucked it up and it's bad.
Only you could ruin your favorite day. Matthew, was yours when the pediatrician said, he's finally in the first percentile for height.
He's made it.
He's ready to go to high school.
It was when they told me I was allergic to penicillin and I was like, oh no. Oh no, I'm gonna die. I did think that for a minute.
Wait, you're allergic to penicillin too? Hey. Oh. Don't ever
so
give us
weird.
Penicillin.
All cillins.
So
yeah, all cillins, same. Yeah. Causing me to die.
Whatever.
Though recently, I recently had.
Oh, that's why. Oh.
Yeah. It all makes sense.
I recently
medication.
Had surgery and they kept asking me, like, are you every single person that came at the, and like, there's like the rotating cast of people that come in and ask you about everything. And like, what are you allergic to? And I said, penicillin, all cillins. And they all looked at me very funny and they were like, what happens if you take penicillin? And I was like, I don't know. I haven't taken it in 25 years.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay. I was like, should I be concerned?
Oh, this like, happens all the time. They're like, come on. And you're like, no, I'm really allergic to it. They're like, ah.
I think you're lying. Every time the doctor's like, are you allergic to penicillin? And I'm like, no, it's ridiculous.
Here's something funny.
I don't know anyone that's allergic to penicillin. It's a fake thing.
There's two people allergic. Right here.
Yeah, right here.
I know.
Surrounded
I'm just saying.
By people allergic to penicillin.
I don't believe you.
Here's something fun you can do. You can do it at restaurants. I do it all the time. When they say, any allergies at the table? You can say penicillin.
No, because Matthew already has a fun one to say.
I laugh out of that.
It's the worst thing in the world.
We were at a sushi restaurant. And Matthew, what did you say your allergy was?
I don't know if you can even be allergic. I have some sort of like intolerance allergy to quinoa, which is the most the worst possible thing you can say.
And then cue server spitting in your food immediately after.
I'm
allergic to quinoa.
Anyone who would even know that deserves to have their food spitting.
I never volunteer, but if they ask, I'm always like, I guess I need to tell them. And I always try to apologize for being an asshole.
They're dunking their hands in quinoa before preparing the sushi. Yeah. Just like washing it and then.
Would you like to hear the specials? We have a penicillin quinoa.
Penicillin and quinoa.
Quite delightful. It would be rude not to order it. Kate, favorite day? Or like a day, the top five day you'd want to go back to?
I got it. I knew it the second you said it. The third day of Electric Forest. It's a 4-day festival. So the third day is nice because it's like you're settled in and you've got one more day. So you're not worried about packing up or it being the last day. So you're all comfy. I remember like I showered that morning and like my hair dried really nice. And I wore my really big like pastel colorful bear kigurumi. So I was comfy as hell all day.
Aww.
We remembered our flag. We forgot our flag to like so we could all find each other.
So many questions, but I want you to just keep going.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
It's a Dylan, onesie.
No idea what's
it's
happening.
It's a onesie. It's a onesie.
Dylan Francis was the headliner that we saw that night. And I partied so hard that I fell asleep during Big Gigantic.
So many questions.
Standing and dancing. And I romped around the forest in my little bear thing with Michael. We had like a little date day. It was great.
Sounds great.
It sounds great.
I don't want to even ask.
I don't want to. I don't want any more definition.
You're going to ruin her perfect day.
Yeah, I don't want to ruin her perfect day.
How?
Like, what country was the flag? I don't want to know.
No.
So our group is called Whatever It Takes. And it was the last.
Still no idea what's going on.
What's the name of the group?
Our group.
What's the name?
Is called Whatever It Takes.
This is amazing. What's
the name of the group?
It's like an alien landed at our table. I'm trying confused. To explain their culture
anyway,
to us.
Our flag says Whatever It Takes on it. And remember you know that sun from Rick and Morty that just screams?
Yeah.
It has that on it.
Okay.
And that's how we find each other in the crowds. And it was the last big hurrah before a bunch of our friends.
It wasn't the teddy bear outfit you were wearing? That didn't stand out in the crowd?
Well, no, because it was also like neon day. So like our friend has like a like merch sort of line where it's just like laser clothes. So like a lot of people were wearing
what
that.
The fuck is and I only decided, Sydney knows what's going
I
on here.
To wear my
did you say laser clothes?
Yeah, like
LED or
clothes.
Like colorful.
Oh,
I have to Google Electric Forest.
You guys have never been to a rave and it shows.
Have you guys ever been to a 4-day rave?
No. Okay.
You've never been to like
anyway,
Electric
the third day is
Daisy?
The best day.
I've never felt more square in my entire life.
I know electric anything.
But, yeah. Not even talking about drugs. She's just talking about
I didn't even mention the drugs. But yeah, so it was the last hurrah before a bunch of our friends like decided to settle down and like have kids and stuff. So it was like the last time.
It sounds amazing. That,
sounds like a great day.
We took an RV to Michigan because that's where the festival was. And yeah, third day was the best day.
That sounds like so much fun.
It was.
I love it. I love it. Skid, what was your favorite rave?
What's your favorite 4-day forest rave?
Don't make me choose. I feel like Joe trying to pick one of his favorite children.
And were you wearing your favorite laser clothes out there?
I only wear laser clothes.
What flag were you bearing?
Andorra.
No, I mean, I imagine you've got a day that like you're gonna go deep.
The first day of Operation Desert Shield. Nothing to do with the operation. It was just a pretty,
coincidence.
Pretty good day.
It happened
good
to day. Me. Good day. And I remembered it because it was the first day.
I was like, wow, this is funny. I'm having such a good day on the first day of Operation Desert Shield. I kept saying to myself.
I have to see what day.
I remember this. If it ever comes up.
That was August 2nd, 1990.
Yep.
You were having a really good day?
Yeah. It was like, it was right before school started. I watched the Cubs on WGN.
Ghost was number one at the box office.
Yep. That was, I actually worked that night. I tore tickets for Ghost. I watched one of the Falcon movies, during the day. It was great. Great day.
sounds pretty fantastic. Joe, can you top
hard
that?
Hard to compete with day one of Desert Shield.
Operation Desert.
Yeah, I've got this day that always stood out to me. I'm like, God, this was such a great day. It was actually Nick Lowe's bachelor weekend. So he had a bachelor party weekend in Vermont. And I had just torn my knee up and had surgery. And all the guys were going whitewater rafting. And I couldn't go because I was still healing. So I was like, yeah, I'll just, you know, stay back in the house. And so they were going for like 8 or 9 hours this one day. And they left, you know, first thing in the morning. So this is like a VRBO in Vermont. It was extremely remote in this huge, beautiful house. And I woke up in this like ski cabin, but it was like summer. And I was alone in the house and it was like dirty from the night before, poker chips and, you know, drinks everywhere.
Coke.
And I spent, yeah, just like Coke everywhere. All over Nick Lowe's
typical Nick Lowe party.
Like mountains of leftover
mountains of cocaine.
If there's one person in the world who needs cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
Nick Lowe. Oh, my God. Can you imagine what a nightmare he would be?
And it was just a fantastic day. I spent the morning just cleaning and it was actually awesome. Like I played music. I was alone in the house and I just like cleaned up. And then when it was nice, I went outside. I had a guitar and there was no houses around. And I played outside and sung outside, which I've never done before or since. Because like you're always in a place where there's somebody there to listen. And I didn't want to expose anybody to that.
Yeah.
And I played music. And then I went on a hike around the house by myself. I had a camera and I was like taking like nature pictures and shit. It was amazing. And then everybody came back like mid-afternoon. And we just started, we like made a big bonfire and then like cooked and played horseshoes and shit. And like... And went all night long. It was just a great, great day. It's an awesome day.
I'm glad it ended that way because for a minute there, I was just thinking, So Joe's perfect day is when he was out with his friends and all of his friends left him.
Yeah, when I was completely alone. But that was so that was what made it so great. It's like I had all that alone time and it built back to like, and then I was ready to hang with everybody. And then it was just awesome. It was a great day.
That does sound like a great day.
What about you, Troy? Game six?
I was trying to think while you guys were talking, but I was so engaged in your stories, I couldn't think of a day. And then I got sad that I couldn't remember a day.
We don't need to do you.
Yeah.
Let's just get to the game.
It's fine. Yes. Let's just take a quick break. And we'll be back after this.
He doesn't remember his days.
The Glass Cannon Podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Do you ever have trouble getting to sleep? I certainly do, and I usually find that the reason is that my brain will not stop racing. It's hard to just shut down to a point where you can go to sleep. These thoughts just keep racing. And one way to get rid of those racing thoughts is to talk them through. And if you go to therapy, that is a place to do that. You can stop these spirals that keep happening. It's a way to kind of talk yourself out of that maze. I've talked about my experience with therapy quite a bit. It has made a huge difference in my life. And it's helpful with just sort of sorting your emotions, setting boundaries, coping skills, all that stuff. It's great. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It is 100% online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get a break from your thoughts with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GCN today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/GCN.
And we're back! Once again, I want to thank our sponsors, Demiplane, Norse Foundry, and Foundry VTT. They are a huge part of what we're doing here with Campaign 2, as you will see in the episode to follow. As much as I like to think that we treat this game with the respect it deserves, we will be starting our session today with each of you putting on funny disguises to go drink espresso martinis at a bar named Patsy's. Because it's ladies' night.
Because it's ladies' night. Do we determine Abadia 6 is a Tuesday or whatever?
No, you're leaving out one key detail. We're bringing our priest with us.
Yes. And you're bringing your priest
as a chaperone.
Obviously, episode 1 was a long one. We covered a lot of ground. We got to see a little bit of each person's past, some recent past, some a little more distant past. And then we jumped right in to the adventure where we see our five heroes, as it were. Professionless heroes. Brother Ramius of Latria, Talitha Breakwater, Zephyr Velos, Lucky, and Buggles. They are all gatewalkers. They are people who happen to be near an Ayudara, an elf gate, somewhere in the world on the night that has now come to be known as the missing moment. And all these Ayudara, some that had remained dormant for thousands, millions of years perhaps, all came alive all around the world. And people who were nearby saw something on the other side of the gate that enticed them to walk through. Some people never came back. All those who did came back with no memory of what happened on the other side of the gate, and also came back with new powers, a brand, usually on their neck, sometimes on their stomach in the case of Lucky. Could be anywhere on their body, all sharing the same like tattoo-like brand. And at a certain point, a man named Dr. Edward Riddleson started gathering all of these gatewalkers together. He was a gatewalker himself to try and figure out what happened. Scholars the world over are trying to figure out what happened on the night of the missing moment. Well, it's much more personal for Dr. Riddleson and all of you. And so you, rallied to his cause, went to his home in Leppestadt in Ustalav and began studying with him and all these other gatewalkers. And now you are being brought to the city of Seven Arches as his most prized pupils, in a way, to investigate a very promising lead. The city of Seven Arches used to belong to the elves long, long, long ago. And then the elves, as we all know, if you know Galarian lore, left. And over time, the city was resettled by a group of druids known as the Oak Stewards and turned into a, you know, semi-bustling metropolis.
Oaktown.
Oaktown, as they call it. As no one calls it. But now we will. And they have this situation where they have active... gates, active Iodara, one of the few cities in the world that still have active Iodara. And you need a key usually to activate this. And the Oak Stewards have this key, one would assume, because they had active gates. No elf is allowed in the city because up until the night of the missing moment, any elf that even came close to the arches suffered from this horrible curse known as the Obnubulate Curse, where they would just wither away and turn to ash eventually. But something happened on the night of the missing moment where evidently that curse has been lifted, although they're still not allowing elves in because they're not sure. They don't want to be responsible if some elf comes in and is like, ah, let me see if this curse, oh God, turn into a pile of ash. Your contact, Dr. Riddleson, has hooked you up with an elf, a wood elf, by the name of Fianara Calestri, I think, or Carolestri.
Carolestri,
Fianara Carolestri, this little caravanserai a couple miles outside of the city. And she can help you, but she needs some help first. And so you meet with her, and she tells you that she thinks the arches, the gateway that are being protected in the city of Seven Arches, aren't real. And she wants you to test them. She's afraid to go in. Of course, one of you is a half-elf, Zephyr. And so she suggests that you disguise yourself because you wouldn't be allowed in. And of course, there's the whole other problem that you may die if the curse is still real.
But how fast does the turn to ash thing happen?
Seems like it happens pretty quickly. And it also seems irreversible. Like people who get sick, it like you don't have
no time. Amount of healing.
No amount of healing can stop.
Very slow, gradual effect. Takes place over hundreds of years.
You won't know until long
after. First wrinkles start appearing on your face.
You won't know you had it until long after you were dead. But you're given a disguise kit and you talk to another elf who claims to have gone with a bunch of her friends on the night she turned 21, went to a bar named Patsy's, had a couple drinks, said, let's go check out the arches. Who cares if we die? And she claims to have gone to the arches, suffered no ill effects, and says that they're, you know, they're guarded. The Oak Stewards are out because there's all these attacks by these creatures known as Gorgas. You know, this is the River Kingdoms. There's Fae everywhere, and there's been an uptick in Gorga attacks. So they're locking down on the security. It's not like you can walk right up to the arches, but she says she went there, didn't suffer any ill effects. So you have disguise kits, and you're headed to Ladies' Night at Patsy's. I'm going to reveal a map to y'all. The map here that I have of the city of Seven Arches.
Ooh. Nice.
There you go. You can see that they're on Foundry, and there are a number of different locations there. I wouldn't overthink the locations. They're just...
I don't see Patsy's labeled.
Patsy's is not labeled. But oddly enough, see that little circle where Silver and Cold is? It's located just north of the river there. You may remember I told you there's the city is built in the middle of the confluence of two rivers that then continue off and connect to the Selen. That little canal that connects the two rivers to the west, that's a man-made canal. So the Arch Plaza is kind of like on a little island there in the center of the city.
Okay.
But yeah, there are other locations there. Again, don't assume that there's an encounter in each of those locations. They're just giving you sort of the lay of the land. But if you have questions,
all right, first we will kill the monsters in Vine Hall,
and then head to Honeybrush Cabaret,
and then
we'll hit Patsy's.
Patsy's doesn't get hop until after
bar hopping.
Yeah. So, like I said, you're a few miles away from Seven Arches. Getting there is easy. Let's assume you start walking there. You get there and you see four regular looking citizens at the border to the city itself. Up ahead, let's say they've stopped like a merchant cart with about six people in tow. Some are on the cart, some are walking beside it. And one of the men standing at the gates like comes to the back of the cart and lifts up the flap to look inside, gives a thumbs up. I'm sure they did that back then. Thumbs up.
Little thumbs up. Little thumbs up.
That's where it started.
Well, it started right here. That was the first thumbs up ever given in Galarian. And the guy was like, what does that mean? It means it's okay. And the guy was like, and then they tap the side of the cart, wave them through, and the cart rolls past the border gate. What do you do?
They're not Oak Steward. These are just normal citizens.
Yeah, they look like just regular
merchants.
No, the people guarding the gate are just regular citizens. They don't.
Yeah, let's just walk.
Appear to be Oak Stewards.
Just walk through. We're not doing anything. Ladies' night.
Yeah. Did we disguise ourselves already?
I painted my fur. So that's what I did to disguise myself.
Right, you're orange now.
I'm orange. I'm like a tabby orange cat. And then what did you do?
Oh, so we're disguising ourselves, like, for me, not just to not look like a half-elf, but to look not like ourselves.
I think we broke out the makeup disguise kits.
I think we just got really enthusiastic.
I think we're a little bit over-eager to begin our career as investigators.
Yeah. Right. Uh-huh. Like, you're the only one that needed to disguise yourself, but since I offered multiple disguise kits, I think Buggles has a funny nose.
I just fixed my ears and I'm looking at you all like, no, I'm good.
I'm going to wear my laser clothes.
Oh shit, why didn't I think of
that? That'll really, you'll blend in.
And yeah. Joe, since he takes the game seriously, is not disguised.
That is correct.
A little bit of the pain is like rubbing off as Lucky Box.
He also is, remember, he's like a hooded monk. Right. You know what I mean? So like, you're not going to just spot his face unless you're right up in his grill. So he's kind of just like keeping a low profile, but it is hard. I mean, he's carried a bunch of books. He stands out.
Yeah, right. A random guy whose hood is covering his face will never look suspicious.
But, you know, if you're not a wanted criminal or you don't have some sort of rep here in Seven Arches, there's really no need to hide yourself unless you don't want to be seen leaving because of something you may do there. Otherwise, nobody knows who you are.
See, there is a method to our madness.
Right. Until I brought that up, though. I
can neither confirm nor deny.
All right, you start to roll up. Zephyr, you had said your ears aren't super pointy, but obviously they look a little different than your friend's ears, except for Buggles. What is your deception skill?
Mine? Ooh, let me see on this character sheet that I'm using for the first time in Demiplane. I got a +0 because I didn't put any points in charisma.
I have a plus 4.
Okay.
I have a +5.
All right.
Any help?
I'm mostly interested in Zephyr here, as you are not trying to disguise your features, Talitha and Lucky.
We could have been the ones who did her ear makeup.
Maybe they're assisting me.
Ah, interesting. All right, I'll give you a +2 then to your roll, we'll say. Okay. But I'm going to roll it so you won't know.
Oh, no. So I won't
secret
know.
Roll.
Yeah, secret rolls.
This is fun.
Okay. So you start to roll up to the gate here. One of the guards' eyes sort of lingers on you for a moment, looking at you, and he smiles. They welcome you in to Seven Arches.
Yeah. Lucky gives 2 sideways thumbs up. She's new to it.
And the guy's like, the guy who invented the thumbs up is like, it's like this. Why are you covered in orange paint?
Nice. Absolute weirdo.
Like a fur activist threw a bucket of orange paint.
Nice. Fur is murder.
Why is it orange?
No, it's not.
I walk away. Said it was supposed to blend in. It didn't blend in at all. Looks so bad. Talitha, it looks bad.
We had a party.
Really in
character. Talitha's really leaning in.
Really in character. Yeah, we had a party.
All right.
Ladies' night.
Calm down. Thumbs up all around.
Is it like 10 in the morning?
Ladies' night. No, I would say, you know, because you wanted to speak to the elf as well. You were hanging out there getting information from Fianara. You came at midday. Now it's like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock.
Okay.
So the sun has
game at the inn.
5 o'clock somewhere, as I always say.
That's right. Right now. Actually, says one of the guards. It's 5 o'clock right now.
Right here.
Can you point me to Patsy's?
Patsy's. Yeah, it's right there.
Ladies' night.
She points in the direction of that little circle that I showed you.
Oh, it's a woman? See you there.
You know where Patsy is.
You know, part of the whole disguise thing is to not make yourself the focus of attention.
No.
They are now going to clearly remember.
You forget the
plan. Ladies' night ladies.
Oh, Joe, you ignorant slut.
You forget the plan.
We are trying to draw attention to the fact that we are at Patsy so that someone can slip away.
Yeah, that was the whole point. Mm-hmm. We were going to play the drunk girls at the bar.
At Patsy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you got to draw them to Patsy.
Exactly. That's what we're doing.
It's 5 o'clock.
Patsy!
It's time to party.
Party!
It's clearly a bachelorette party with a goblin and a priest.
Yeah. The goblin's getting married!
Why here?
You roll into town.
Logic is not consistent.
You start to check out the lay of the land, and you know that not that long ago the elves called this land their home, and you can immediately see that the entire city has been built on top of elven ruins. Because if you look at the base of most of the structures that you can see like old architecture from like you could tell like from elven times, but it's been all built over. And since this is a town that's run by druids, there's like climbing vines and leaves covering the new structures. But, you know, a careful eye, you'll notice that like they've kind of built on a graveyard, essentially, of the civilization that once was. There's trees and shrubs lining the streets. There's public parks with all sorts of flora. And it seems like the residents here just sort of build around nature rather than tear nature down and risk offending their druidic overlords.
So wait, this is not a town of druids. There's all kinds of people here.
All kinds of
people. The druids just are in charge. So they're like the council of the whole that runs the town.
Right.
Governs the town.
I wish to speak to the Grand Hierophant.
He's unavailable at this time. What do you want to do, though? Do you want to go straight to Patsy's?
I want to go straight to the arches.
What's case to join? Yeah, let's put,
from a distance, like walk past and take in what the whole surrounding area there looks like.
Also, I want to see the arches. Yeah. Like, Lucky's never been there.
Yeah.
All right, well then.
And also, Brother Ramius is keeping a very close eye on Zephyr. He's nervously. As we walk.
Yeah, Buggles is going
as we pass the threshold.
Hold her hand. Oh. Like as we get close.
Oh, okay. That's cool, guys. I also have long hair.
That's not what we're really worried about, Zephyr.
Oh.
We're worried
ashes.
About you
we're already
turning
in.
To ash.
Exploding into oil.
I feel like it would have happened by
Your hair looks great, by the way.
Thanks.
Well, maybe you just stay between us as we walk towards the arches.
Okay.
Let's go check out the arches. Why don't we go right to the map?
Wow. Okay. That made me nervous.
Oh, a map.
Whoa, a real map.
Oh, a pond.
It's a map.
Oh my gosh, look at our tokens.
What?
7 stone archways stand in a neat circle in this central town plaza. Each arch is 20 feet tall, 10 feet wide, and there's multicolored lights of unknown provenance warping and weaving their way across the arch's stone faces. Surrounding the arches is a circle of dwarf oak trees, each about 10, 11, 12 feet high, and there's a single hempen rope tied around the tree trunks to form a barricade with only one little gap there to the south. And then to the southeast, which we'll say is where you're coming from, you see a small podium rising about 5 feet high. Maybe this is where the head oak steward gives speeches or preachers might come and do some wacky preacher stuff. And you do see 2 oak steward guards, one standing right at the opening there in the barricade, and then one in the back is sort of patrolling the area.
Could I use an ability that I have that I didn't think I was going to get to use because it seemed like it would drive you insane, but actually seems perfect for this moment?
Go on.
I would like to pursue a lead.
Ooh, you're going to be pursuing a lot of leads, I think.
And leads. And the first of leads.
But I can choose a location, a small location I would like to choose this arch area. Like, And what I'm hoping for is, because it gives me bonuses to perception. So if I'm watching, if I observe it now, I might be able to later on when it becomes important.
What are the parameters of this ability? Like, what does it do?
You spend 1 minute examining the details of one potential clue, designating the subject related to that clue as the target of your active investigation. If that happens, you can then, when you attempt a perception check, perception or skill check to investigate as that designated subject, you get a +1 circumstance bonus to the check. It then also has a benefit if you're going to devise a stratagem, but that probably won't apply here. It's a location, not a person.
50 seconds in to you pursuing a lead, a comet lands and kills the entire party.
Well, it was a good run.
Man, had a good jump, but...
Call Dr. Riddleson.
Send Team Report B. The deaths.
Send a raven.
The deaths of his mentees.
Send the gold team.
Was it the obnubula curse? No, it was a comet.
A comet
that struck precisely where the entire party was standing.
Pretty Here's random. What the oak stewards look like?
Oh, they look friendly.
Yeah.
Oh.
Bright green, John.
Hello.
Is that a hat?
It's kind of like an antler hat.
An antler hat.
Yeah, it's an antler hat.
This guy's kind of smiling.
Made out of wood. Yeah, he looks very friendly. It's clearly the same.
He also has a top knot, John, going. That's all right.
Top knot. Former samurai turned oak steward.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, do I get my minute? Sorry.
Yes, you do get your minute.
I make a slight sketch of the area, and maybe I'm noting, is this oak steward guarding the entrance?
Yes, so the one is patrolling all around, and one stands right at that entrance.
I'm observing the guard routines and routes and that kind of thing.
And, if you hang out there for a little bit, the guard comes down to where the guy is at the front, and then loops and meanders all the way around the top, coming back down to the entrance. So it seems like that's the pattern right now. And they're just watching. People might walk by. Hello, Oak Steward. Guy gives a thumbs up.
The Oak Steward?
And he thinks he's the first one to have ever done it.
Wow.
No, there's no thumbs up. They,
this area is magical.
They seem relatively friendly. They're not like the British guards, you know. Mm. They wave, but maybe it's curt. People come up. Take pictures of the guys. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they do.
Take quick sketches.
Yeah, I'd like to get a snow cone from the cart that's nearby.
Snow cones, get your snow cones. What flavor, sir?
Oh, man, interesting.
Yeah.
I think Brother Amius is like, I'm going to talk to him.
Oh.
Do you want
He just looks at all of you for a moment.
To go alone?
Maybe.
Oh, come if you like.
It'll be less intimidating if we're all there.
I'm going to speak with him.
Party!
You don't have to do it.
We're not doing.
Don't have to do it right now.
Sorry, I've never been to a
party. And Ramius is just going to walk up toward the gates, toward that central guard that seems to, that seems to be blocking the one opening where the gates begin to open up. So, there's seven gates. They're all right next to each other with a gap in the south. Mm-hmm. So he'll walk up to that southern opening to the guard there.
Guy nods as you're approaching. Hello, stranger.
Good evening. It is quite a cold night.
Yes.
I've never been to the Arches.
Yes. First. One never forgets their first sight of the Seven Arches. The eponymous Seven Arches.
Are they actually glowing right now? Are they glowing and there's like portals lights, and stuff like that?
You can see it on Foundry. There is like a glow on all of them. Lights dancing.
Oh, it's moving on the map,
really
actually.
Cool.
That is... Oh my gosh, that is so cool.
Oh, that is cool.
I am so immersed.
Congratulations, Foundry. You've immersed Kate.
It's notoriously
hard to immerse.
It's pretty easy, I think. I don't need a lot.
Ooh, shiny.
We should get you business cards. It's notoriously difficult to immerse.
Immersion resistance.
What brings you to town, stranger?
I will study. Studying the Ayudara. Gates.
And, you know, he'll see, like, all the, you know, the books on his back. He just generally looks kind of like a scholarly type, also religious in nature, you know. So he's just going to say it's part of a project that I'm participating in for my abbey. We are researching the Ayudara, and this is the equivalent of Mecca. I don't know what to say in this world, but yeah, he's
I
like,
I don't understand.
I finally made it, and I'm
this
very
is like
excited.
A Mecca.
Yeah, exactly. What? Doesn't make any sense.
I've just arrived in town, and I was eager to come and see them.
Yes, there has been a lot more interest in the Iodara as of late. You know, ours are one of the few functional ones left in the world until that fateful night.
Indeed. Do you... key... What is it? The gatekeeper? Who has the key? What is
are
the,
you the gatekeeper?
Are you the keymaster?
I'm the keymaster. Is it the keymaster? What do they call it?
No, like usually there's a key to activate these. The few remaining gates that are active in the world, there's a key. Yeah.
But don't they, you had a name for like, isn't it the key holder or like there's somebody who's like holds the keys? I don't know. Anyway.
The key guy.
The key guy.
I'll look it up.
The janitor.
Keys.
Oak steward?
No.
That's not
In the novelization.
Key bearer.
Key bearer, see?
Yes, unless you were the key bearer.
Peter Coyote's character's name was Keys.
Got it.
Is that what you're asking? <the show? laughs> That's your question.
Not answer my
Does
question.
Does that help?
It was either a fine.
I swear you were asking about the novelization of E.T. and
this
what
is actually
Peter
like
Coyote's
the second time
in
the podcast history that you brought that particular factoid
just like
up.
Talking about it.
But I don't know if it was Fine Hour or Dr. Riddleson referred to them as the key bearer, but I don't think there's any reason to think that that's what it's called. It's just the person with the key.
Gotcha.
It's a nice way of saying it, though.
Do you use them regularly, the active gates?
No, certainly not someone of my station, but it's possible my superiors.
The town leadership, the Oak Stewards, they use them on occasion?
Yes.
Do they travel places? Is that where they go?
I don't know. That's above my pay grade, as it were.
Interesting. Is there anyone I could talk to in town? Is there a local expert or someone who could give me more information on the gates?
No. It's something that we don't really open to the public, as it were. I'm sure that the library would have some books on it, though I can't imagine it would have anything different from the library at your abbey.
Weimar Abbey.
Weimar Abbey.
The gates themselves, they are operational.
Got a lot of questions about gates.
I'm just curious. I'm very excited. I apologize.
Being unnecessarily hostile.
Roll for initiative.
What are you, some sort of gate walker? Sorry, what was your question?
When did the guards change shift?
Give a list of your weaknesses.
Real casual. What's your mother's maiden name?
What is your AC?
Favorite color.
Have you ever had surgery?
Weaknesses I should know about?
How long do they make you stand here? How long is the shift?
Well, they don't make me. It is my job as protector of Seven Arches. We have many jobs, but I'm on patrol here. We switch my partner and I every 8 hours.
Ah. Interesting.
Yes.
And always on your feet.
Yes, I don't mind it. It's good to be grounded to nature. I'm a druid. I love it.
I like this guy.
I love it. Yeah, I like him too.
Yeah, fun.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your time. I'm going to hit up this library you discussed. Where is it?
Oh, it's right there.
Right there.
It just points down the street.
So close.
Can't miss it. Right down Library Way.
It's at the end.
It's at the end of Library Way.
Huge sign in the square. Library Way.
Right next to the prison.
Convenient.
The prison is also
on Library
Way. So I
won't
have
to travel far. Yeah, it's on Free Library Way.
And he'll see himself away.
Good luck in your studies. I didn't catch your name.
Brother Ramius.
Brother Ramius.
What's his name?
What's your name?
Michael.
Al Michaels?
Al Michaels?
Did you just stub your toe?
To meet you, Al.
He said, Michael.
You have an incredible voice.
Al Michaels, the Oak Stewart.
Al Michaels.
Sorry, I just got bit by a mosquito.
No, just call me Michaels.
Okay, Michaels.
Oak Stewart Michaels.
And, so he'll head back, and he was very friendly.
What was his name?
Al Michaels.
What?
Tulitha writes it down.
Can't be right.
Pursue a lead. Al Michaels.
Darrow.
I can pursue two leads at once.
Lucky would like to buy an apple from the cart.
Ah, we're all out. I'm so sorry. Do you fancy a pear?
Yeah, okay, I guess.
Oh, that one's rotten. And it was my last pear. All out of fruit.
I'll just go to another cart.
Apples here, get your apples.
Can I have one?
Sure. Shines it on his shirt, throws it to you. $25.
25 times.
There's an apple shortage, you know, don't you know?
Spit it out. I toss
25.
Toss him 2 copper or whatever.
All right.
Crazy.
Deal.
Thanks for the tip.
She munches on the apple and she goes, well, what's the deal with these gates?
That's the gates that the city is named after.
You ever been through them?
Oh, no, I'm just a simple fruit salesman. I'm not allowed to walk through the arches. I've never even seen anyone walk through them.
Really?
Yeah, no, if they do, they do it under the cover of night.
Oh, I thought it was like a whole thing here, that everybody traveled through the arches and...
No, it's not for the public. It's for the Oaksterwoods, and I don't even think they use them. It's more of a tourist attraction. When you come to Seven Arches, make sure you see the Seven Arches. That's why I set up my cart here. You know how many apples I sell? To all the tourists that come to look, they get hungry walking all the way here.
Oh, damn it, we went to the tourist trap fruit.
You know, yeah, I know. It's gonna
That's
sell
why it's $25.
He's going to sell me a $25 brochure next.
I have a map here to some of the local Oaksterwoods homes.
No need. I do have a... It's unfortunate that they put this rope around it, though. You can't even get close. You can't even look at it.
Well, yeah, they don't want people just trying just to mess around.
Of course, of course.
Ruining them, defacing them. But they're teenagers. They just drink, and they would be marking them up with their graffiti and whatnot.
But, I mean, don't you want to get close? You've never seen any... I mean, how much could you pay to get in past the rope? I mean...
pay the Oaksterwoods? You're talking about bribing the Oaksterwoods?
No. I'm just...
Are you talking about bribing the Oaksterwoods?
No,
oh, God.
I'm talking about a healthy donation to upkeep the area, because it is quite nice, but I would love to just see the arches up close.
You know, I've always been interested myself, but it's not for me. And the Oaksterwoods are a noble group. I don't think they would take a donation to get past that rope, as it were. Though I do...
She leans in closer. Are you saying that you have a way to get in?
He leans in. No, I just want money.
She leans in further. I was confused. I'm gonna go.
All right.
What was your name?
My name is Jasper.
Dan Deerdorf.
Thanks, Jasper.
Dan Deerdorf. Jasper
Deerdorf. Thank you.
Jasper Dan Deerdorf.
Jasper Dan Deerdorf.
Thank you for the apple, Tim.
Jasper Dan Deerdorf.
It's ladies' night at Patty's, if you want to.
You mean Patsy's. Patty's closed down a long time ago.
Patty's was the pizza joint on the corner.
It was Patty's, oh.
On the corner of Library Way and Pizza Way.
Right next to the prison.
And Pizza Place. Library Way and Pizza Place.
She walks back to the group.
It's not productive.
No, it's not.
Could Talitha now do a perception check on the area? I'm looking for maybe a way we could sneak in. What would be the best strategies? An opening in the rope? Et cetera, something.
Yeah, are you trained in perception?
I am indeed.
You're an investigator.
I'm an investigator. I'm an expert in perception.
Damn.
Okay, cool. What is your perception skill?
+6.
Okay.
And I get a bonus because my pursuit leads, so +7.
Okay.
Nice.
You've spent some time watching while your friends were having conversations, just studying, seeing if anything looks out of place. And at one point, you see a bird floating around, a little sparrow. And it goes and it lands on the rope. And when it lands on the rope, there's like this, almost like a human scream. And you see the Oak Steward who's patrolling, like, go over with his staff. Choo, 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 choo. And so it seems that... there may be some sort of trap around the rope, like an alarm.
An alarm.
Okay. And there's... is it like a rope... A single rope line?
It's
or?
Like a single rope. And that scream lasts for like a minute. It's like...
It was only
like a car alarm going off.
Yeah.
It's like, get that button.
But there is an opening where the guard is standing.
Yeah, there is an opening where the guard is standing. And the guy isn't like beating at the, he's a druid. Like killing a fly.
Like stamping on a sparrow.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Over and over again.
Oh, no.
I don't teach you. Get off of that rope.
Typical druid.
But had a tough day.
Was it only when the bird landed on the rope, or was it when it flew over, like
crossed over into the
threshold?
It's hard to tell. Like, obviously, the both the touching of the rope and there was a crossover. It wasn't exactly parallel to the rope.
Could I do an Arcana check on the rope?
Yeah, sure.
The alarm.
That's a good idea. I'll do the same.
Oh, 10.
19.
Ooh, 19. I mean, you think that it would be possible to maybe dispel the magic, and maybe a careful, carefully moving the rope, there would be a way to sort of bypass the trap. But, you know, that's dangerous. Now, the way thievery works in Pathfinder 2nd Edition, you usually don't set it off unless you have a critical failure. So, I mean, it's like, you know, if you mess it up, you might not set off the alarm, but you also won't be able to make progress through if it is tied to, like, a barrier.
Let's gather and talk about our strategy here.
Should we go to Patsy's, or do you want to stay here?
Well, let's go to Patsy's.
Yeah,
he sounded that like it was a real place. Or,
yeah, I know.
After
let's
the
go
game.
To Patsy's.
Let's go to Patsy's.
Are you going to Patsy's?
What stops us? Let's go to Patsy's.
Do we need a reservation?
I think we just walk in. We're able to sit at the bar.
All right, let's just go see if there's seats at the bar.
Just sit at the bar.
I'd like some jalapeno poppins.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to Patsy's.
Poppers.
What is up, Nash? I am here to once again sing the praises of my favorite VPN app, NordVPN. It is my go-to app for privacy and security when I'm using public Wi-Fi, which I do a lot, especially when we're on the road for Glass Cannon Live. While Skid and Matthew are out touring the home of some obscure 19th century playwright, I'm in the hotel room working, baby. And to keep my info private, I run all of my internet usage through NordVPN. It's not surprising that it is one of Time's 2022 best inventions in the apps and software section. It's fantastic for everything from privacy and security to straight up being savvier with your money. Did you know that airfare is priced differently based on where their systems think you're located at the time of purchase? Yeah. And the same thing with subscriptions. You can often find a subscription that you're into for cheaper if you just change your virtual location to a country where the rates for that subscription are cheaper. It is fast, it's easy, and it'll cost you no more than a cup of coffee a month. And if you check it out now and use our unique link in the podcast description, you can receive 4 months free when you sign up for a 2-year plan. To get this huge Nash discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/GCP. With every purchase of the 2-year plan, you will receive 4 bonus months for free. And there's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Once again, you can find that link in the episode description.
All right, so you take a little stroll down Patsy's Way.
oh, yeah. Patsy's Way runs perpendicular to library.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll never
very
get
easy
lost.
To get
right near Prison Boulevard.
Indeed.
Easy. Pizza place.
And you get down, you see the blacksmith shop there, Silver and Cold. Isn't that fun?
Oh.
Silver and Cold.
Silver and Cold.
Yeah, there's like, if you look through the window, you see a jacked woman just working on various cold iron weapons. Then you get to Patsy's. And sure enough, there's an A-frame outside that says, 2-for-1. Ladies' night.
Ladies' night!
Ladies' night! Now's the time that we really lean into it.
Great.
Can I give a thumbs up to Zephyr, who definitely has no idea what ladies' night is?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. You don't have to drink. You can pretend.
Okay.
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 Remember that immersion you were so excited about?
I'm unimmersed.
So Tilly, maybe we'll like make a show of going in about and yell "ladies night" a couple times and get a booth in the back.
Yeah,
and then we'll get some drinks, yeah, and then we'll confer.
And Zephyr's never drank, right? Because they're a monk.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you all saw the alarm that went off when the bird landed on the rope.
Yeah,
really weird.
I didn't know what set it off. It was a bird, was it?
It was a bird. So I think whatever we're going to have to do to get in, we're going to have to either disable or work around the trap.
I think I might have a way to defeat the rope.
What would that way be?
Devised a stratagem.
Okay. Go on.
I think I can use my skills as a burglar to disable it temporarily, and we can sneak in at the far end.
I could assist if you need it.
That would be great.
Well, we also
there are guards.
Yeah, we need to do something about the guards.
We need to be distracted in some way. All right.
Well, that luckily we have a plan already in place for that, Brother Ramius.
And we'll say it on the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
Lions.
Ladies night.
Guys are doing ladies night, I can help with the thieving, the burglaring.
Also,
I have some tools.
I will say, Talitha, we've really just been repeating the words ladies night, and we haven't actually talked about the plan. Are we going to have a brawl?
You want to fight me?
No, I don't want to hurt you.
By the way, we were having a conversation before we went on the air about the relative height to the rest of us and Lucky. That you are 4'8".
Oh, yeah. Yes. So I imagined I imagined her so tall in my mind, like a slender
from your phenomenal character
art. 6 foot. But then I didn't realize I was doing the research into catfolk in Pathfinder, and like they are not tall creatures.
Who cares?
I know. I could say who cares.
Are you saying who cares? Height doesn't matter?
Who cares what they tell you? You don't have to do it. We're sitting here at a table with each other.
Literally playing make-believe.
I know. Yeah. I was just shocked.
Do whatever you want.
I was shocked because for a female catfolk, it was like base height, 4'5". And I was like, what? But maybe
like actual
cats. Yeah, like a literal cat standing
on its
hind legs.
Like it just stood up.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, there's a cat on its hind legs.
As cute as that is, like to me, I was thinking Monster Hunter, like the cat's, like it's a sidekick. And I was like, she's not a sidekick. She is a tall, slender catfolk woman. So I'm going to go back.
6'2".
Retcon. She's 6 foot.
Wow.
Sorry. Oh, wow.
Any cat over 5 feet needs GM approval.
So does this mean any catfolk we meet now need to adhere to this new standard?
Troy,
no, she's an outlier.
I sent you an email.
Okay.
She has a genetic disorder. She's the tallest cat in the world.
Well,
she's the Manute Bowl.
She's the Manute Bowl of cats.
She could even be crazy. Why not? After her gate experience, everybody has their special gatewalker's traits.
She grew 2 feet.
Well, she
got longer.
Her trait is bone spurs. Her bones literally mutated.
I like this.
Yeah. And I think she did, like, her spine elongated.
Cool.
And she came out. Yeah. So she is, like, lanky now. Like, she is, like, a tall, slender catfolk. So, yeah, I'm retconning it. I know first episode I was like, she's 4'8". Not anymore.
You were, maybe, in the flashback.
Yeah.
Yes.
But now your gate experience, when we saw you looking at yourself, you've elongated, your bones got longer, and that's why they broke through. Oh, I like
that. That's cool. Drank the Ent draft.
Thank you, Joe, because I said originally she was tall, and you're like, why is she so short? I love that she's tall. Okay, so anyway.
So, yeah, I don't actually need to fight you. Tulith is now looking up at you since you're 6 feet tall. I don't actually need to fight you, but perhaps we could stage some sort of scuffle.
Oh, a brawl.
Something to at least get the guards away from you guys, right?
Perhaps. Oh, here's an idea. Perhaps we could also be standing by to set off the trap if we need to.
Oh, that's clever.
Just set it off in a different area.
Like maybe stumble into the
rope.
And then we'll be on like the other side.
Unless that.
I don't know. I feel like attention. Yeah, maybe that draws too much attention.
Maybe we'll do it by the entrance. You and I will drunkenly stumble forward, and then...
Well, maybe that's a plan B, because if you guys were to, like, stumble into the rope a bit, that would set off the alarm so that we don't need to disarm it. We can just go over it, and they think that it's being set by you guys.
And you're hidden.
And we're hidden.
Within it.
Yeah.
And then we walk away, drunk, back to Patsy's. Do you see the vision?
I see the vision. Do you see Brother, Brother Amius?
Brother, what do you think of the plan?
It sounds interesting to me. I don't know what I'm doing. What am I doing?
You did your who's part. Gonna, you talked to the druid.
Who's going to use the tool?
Maybe you could come and escort us away. Tell us we're embarrassing ourselves.
Our chaperone.
But they can pretend to mug you.
And push you. Who said that?
That's actually pretty good.
I kind of really love that.
Wait, I'm not here. That's a little gnome comes up. Or they can pretend to mug this guy.
I should do it.
And what's
I like
your
that.
Name?
Rodney Thimbledick.
I was wondering.
Jesus. We're bringing Rodney name. With
pleasure
us.
To meet you. You're what's the plan?
You're in the party. Now.
All right.
Welcome to the team.
What are we doing?
So then, guys...
I'll be back in this adventure.
I'll be back.
You'll remember the name Rodney Thimbledick.
I don't think we actually want to mug Brother Amius because they could then actually try to arrest us.
Not if you get away.
So you guys do a diversion.
Give me those books, nerd! And just run away.
Steal his books and run.
Yeah.
Stab him in the stomach.
Why did you do that?
It is not a bad plan. I have
make it look real.
Given my name. They know who I am. They know why I'm here. They've seen me.
They might like you.
They may believe that I am unable to defend myself as a scholar. They know who I am and could be drawn to helping a defenseless man. It could possibly work, and it doesn't require me to do any sort of acting, which makes me nervous.
You'd have to convince them you were being robbed by your friends. You'd have to act the whole time.
Just give us a taste.
It'd be easy.
Yes, what would you say?
What would you say, yeah?
In here?
Yes.
Quietly to us.
Whenever you're ready. Start whenever you're good.
And he does, Meg Ryan in the cafe and when Harry met Sally. He's like, oh, stop! Please! I have no money!
Okay.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. It seems a bit much.
Why don't we just stick to the scuffle that way? It's innocent, drunken revels.
And you...
And he's like out of breath.
And you just come and get us.
Okay.
Are you going to try to trip the rope?
If we need to, we'll keep an eye on what you're doing.
So we'll try to disarm, and then do you want to use the aura recorder, or should I to measure the gate?
Buggles, I think you'd be perfect for it. You could be small enough to be even unseen while using it.
I can do it. I'm still just a bit concerned for Zephyr, though, to get too close, because so far she's been all right, but... Just worried.
I feel like something would have happened by now,
and
I don't think it's based on our proximity to the gates.
And I am doing nothing. Prior to breaking them up, I'll simply keep an eye on her and do my best to use the healing magics I can if she falls ill.
All right, I'll use the thing.
Perhaps you three go ahead to stake it out, and we make a scene at the bar known drunkards, and then we'll mosey over and meet you.
Buggles, are you stealthy?
I am.
Yeah.
Look.
Oh, what? Where did you go?
Exactly.
He hid under the table.
Yes.
I know.
He just went under the table.
I know.
So we all watched him go under the table.
I didn't mean to frighten you.
Oh, boy.
All right,
let's do it.
Let's make it. You and I will make a show of buying shots.
Yes.
And not drinking them.
Yes.
But, and then.
Yes.
We'll stumble out.
We should give the shots away to people to make friends.
Oh, just I have to go to the bathroom. Buggles, would you like to come with me?
Yes.
That was really good acting.
We wait for night to fall, by the way.
I think Zephyr should do the scene.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's already the sun's already set, so you can just wait until, late, 11, 12, or even later.
We order drinks. We don't consume them, but we order them and then...
We get trashed.
I'm going to say, I'm going to go now. I'll just keep an eye on the area. Well, you
we'll be there.
Do what you need in here.
Be there, sure.
And he'll leave the bar and walk out into the streets toward the gates, but keeping him a farther distance. And he just wants to stake it out. He just wants to find a place to observe and see if there's any comings and goings at the actual gates besides just people walking by. Mm-hmm. Like if there's actually like an oak steward that like walks up and uses a gate or something, like, you know, at 9 o'clock. Well, you know, he just wants to surveil the area.
All right, let's go back to that map then, now at night.
Oh, come on.
Oh, cool.
Amazing.
Pitch black.
Whoa.
Pitch black, but I can see the gates just glowing in the distance.
So. Do you think there'd be lights in the center of the square or something?
Talitha has dark vision.
Okay. So you should see everything in black and white, but you're not there yet. It would just be Brother Ramius, and so...
that's why I can see.
I see black and white, too, because I have dark vision. Oh, that is so...
That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, there
it's all preset in Foundry.
Oh, I just see black.
Yeah,
you know, cool.
Interestingly enough, the Ayudara are not in black and white.
Yeah, that is neat. That's really cool.
Brother Ramius, do you want to add some type of light to your source to yourself? There's lights in the windows of the building that I haven't included here, so there's a little more light, but are you just standing in the darkness watching?
Yeah, I'm going to stand in the darkness watching and just see if I can catch anything by the light that is thrown by the Ayudara themselves. See if he sees anybody passing into or close to those. And then just listening, right?
Yeah.
To the guards, see if they're speaking to anyone, that kind of thing.
It's eerily quiet. It's late at night. Maybe you see a couple people, not unlike your allies, stumbling home from a late night at the bar. But that's all happening kind of on the periphery. Shops have all closed. The apple carts are gone. And there's just two oak stewards. It's hard to tell in the darkness if they're even the same ones. You don't recognize the one standing at the gate, but you think to yourself, did I get a good look at the other guy? Maybe they switched. But you do see from time to time the unmistakable wooden antlers pass behind a gate in the back as a single oak steward is patrolling and one stands at the entrance.
Okay. I'll just stay there and see if anything changes before they come into the scene.
Yeah, from time to time, maybe they come closer and they...
Seems like they're just passing time. Yeah,
just passing time, but taking their job seriously.
Okay. I'll roll a perception just in the event that there's something... I'll do a seek. In fact, I might have an ability that's useful here.
That is...
That's really, really rude.
So mean.
Can you let me be excited? Even a moment.
Just wait 5 minutes before shitting on my dreams.
So I've got this ability. It's a focus spell. That's what it is. So his deity, Grahastha, gives him, he is granted this ability, a scholarly recollection. But it can be used as a, when you're doing a seek action. So if you attempt a perception to seek, you can speak a short prayer as you gather your thoughts and you're taking in the scene, and you can roll twice and take the better result.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so cool.
Like having, yeah.
Cool.
So he will roll twice and take the better. Let's see. Oh, buddy. That's a 26.
Oh! Nice.
Perception.
26 perception.
Anything out of the ordinary happens. I don't even know what the ordinary is, but right, so far, from what I've seen, guards just patrolling, talking. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at 26, I want to be able to give you something, but what I will give you is that nothing out of the ordinary happens. It seems to be business as usual.
Okay, and that's good.
Yeah.
He's happy with that. And then 10 minutes or more passes. Okay, so as that time passes, he will refocus. He kind of regains that ability if he needs to use it again or something like that. But he's just surveilling and waiting for the drunk people to start like coming in.
Let me cut back to them. So the four of you are walking together, or have you split up?
We'll split up, I think.
Yeah, I think we split up.
Okay, talk me through the plan here.
I think loudly, you know, at the bar, Lucky announces, I gotta take a piss.
I'll go with you.
Come with me.
Ladies night.
Come with me.
Yes.
Come with me. One more. And then she just like bumps into somebody and walks out.
And we make sure they see us leaving.
Leaving.
Yeah.
We'll be back. Don't worry.
Don't take our seats.
Oh, we're saving the spot.
Yeah. And you definitely notice there are a couple people sitting by themselves, like with a single drink, just kind of looking at you. Walking out of the bar under the brim of their hat.
I don't like that.
Can I?
I don't like that at all.
Anybody recognize?
Roll a perception.
All right.
I'm going to roll a perception. How about that?
23.
That's better than Sydney.
Yeah,
sorry, 22.
I would say lucky you might not even notice this, but you, ever alert, notice that people are watching you. But you did just make a big scene on your way out. All right, but they were not friendly eyes.
I'll keep an eye behind us as we stumble down the road in case we're being followed.
Yeah, watch our six.
Watch our six.
Buggles, what are you doing?
I think Zephyr and I are going to go to the opposite side of the perimeter that they're going to do their distraction in, and we're going to try to breach the use thievery to breach the rope area.
So you're going to try and lift it, and Zephyr's going to slide under. Zephyr,
like, fall into the shadows while they're doing their thing.
The only one with elf blood.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay.
What can go wrong?
All right.
Yeah. And Buggles really is, like, he's super concerned about Zephyr. Like, he feels like it seems safe so far, but he's just really paranoid that once she gets closer than the barrier, that something terrible might happen.
Zephyr's pumped to be close to elf stuff.
Oh,
honestly.
All right.
So we
stumble out into the area.
Stumble into the square.
Into the square.
I want to make it a little less dark here, just so.
Oh, so cool.
Actually, see, and
slightly less.
Risk a little more light.
Should we go down somewhere like the southeastern edge, a little away from the gate, so we can pull the guard to us, maybe?
Yeah, maybe we go,
come look at this!
What?
Oh my god, you gotta see it!
Well, what? We go...
Matthew, you clearly have an extremely low opinion of ladies' night. What women do when they drink.
Talitha has never in her life been to a ladies' night.
Yeah, I think Lucky whispers, like, you can tone it down a little.
What'd you say to me?
That's good. Bring it back up. She goes, so you're pushing me. Stop pushing me.
I'm not pushing
you're
you.
You're always pushing me. You just gotta let go. Yeah, you don't have to push me.
I'm trying to show you something cool.
Yeah, every 5 seconds, look at this. I don't want to look every time you say something.
Well, I see cool stuff.
The oak steward that's patrolling on that side says, well, what's seems to be the problem over here?
She's being an asshole.
Not being an asshole. You're just annoying me. I'm sorry, officer.
Not an officer. I'm just an oak steward, but...
She thinks she's better than me.
I literally never said that.
Right. You think it.
All right.
I just had to go to the bathroom.
All right, now it's late. We can't have you yelling in the town square. There are residents.
I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry. You know, I thought she's my friend, but she's just being a jerk.
I'm sorry. I mean...
Oh. You always do this!
I'm a music.
Wait.
She leans, like, towards the oak steward.
No. And maybe the oak steward likes this. I can help.
And then she turns toward the rope and leans on the rope to throw up over the rope.
You lean up, and the guy's like, no!
And then she
sounds like a squirrel screaming.
This is a horrible scene with that sound and her vomiting.
Flashback in the bar.
You see lights going up.
She licked herself a ton.
And now
she throws up a huge hairball.
So you're vomiting a hairball over the barrier.
You're doing that like back. Saying, like,
and the guy's like,
this is bad. This is so bad.
You've watched this. I'm sure you've told your friends that this alarm lasts for a minute. You think that there's no time like now to perhaps do this. Yeah. What do you do?
Let's head over to the opposite side. Yeah, and try to go over it. Like,
hustle over to the hidden part of the rope.
All right, so you like sneak over to the back away from where the guard is here. All right, let's do a little stealth. What is your stealth there, Zephyr?
It is a +7. I'm trained in it.
Okay, and what is yours?
+5.
+5, okay.
You guys are all right.
Yeah.
This is good.
All right, so I got those rolls. You guys are sneaking to the back there.
The first time ever, characters are doing what they're supposed to be doing based on their skill set.
Amazing.
All right, so you get to the back there. You hear, ah, 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 And obviously,
you see a 6-foot cat coughing up a hairball.
The other Oak steward is not leaving his post, but he's kind of like, "Is everything, Tom? Everything all right over there?" And you guys are in the back. Let's do a thievery check here. I'm going to have you roll it to see if you're able to temporarily disable this.
And I'll assist.
Okay.
All right. So what is the roll to assist? You roll the check, and if you succeed,
no,
you
get a bonus. It's DC 20 unless the GM wants to adjust it.
Okay.
I would say it's always seemed super high.
That seemed very high.
Yeah, DC 20 is very high.
The alarm is already going off.
I'm
going
to set it in my head because there is a bit of a distraction here. The alarm is off, but you don't know what happens when 2 points of entry, because I will tell you this, and you notice this as well, that alarm is localized to where you're holding.
It was a different scream. You said it was a squirrel as opposed to a human.
I'm flavoring it up.
Okay. It's always been the squirrel rope? You're supposed to touch the bird rope.
I think he's making this up as he goes.
It's like
it does. Seems like he's making it up.
It sounds like
segment 7 is a frog.
It sounds like a human scream in a squirrel's body. Do I have to explain anything else? All right.
No,
that's perfect. No, it's so clear in my mind.
Okay. All right, give me your thievery roll. Let's see.
Assist.
To assist.
So it's 17.
17. It's pretty good.
Okay.
Might even be a bonus there.
Okay.
Let's see what you roll. What do you got there?
8.
Buggles!
All right.
You do have a bottle cap that was given to you at the beginning of the game. Now, obviously, the bottle cap economy is a little bit different here. Is this something you would like to use?
Yes. Okay. I do. Okay.
Oh, here goes. Oh, I got it. That was nice.
Wow. Oh, no, he didn't. It's on the ground.
But it is
bad. I swallowed it.
Okay. That's a 17 myself.
Whoa. 17 yourself. Perhaps with some assistance, Buggles comes up, gingerly grabs the rope, and lifts it above his head, and no sound goes off.
Yeah. Let's go.
I'd say,
oh,
maybe,
my God. And she's like, I'm going to hold back your hair.
It's all hair. I'm made of fur.
I'd say maybe 30 seconds have elapsed since the alarm started off. Zephyr, walk me through it. What do you do?
As soon as it is lifted up and there's no sound, slip right under there with the, what is it called?
Aura reader?
The aura reader.
The aura recorder.
Aura recorder.
I'm so nervous.
And yeah, approach.
You used to hold it.
Yeah, I'm like,
like, maybe stay close. I know there's like bushes around near the gate, so stay close to the bush just in case.
Those are like dwarf trees, so they're tall. Oh, they just look like bushes here from the bird's eye view. But Buggles can certainly have done it near one of the trees to hide up against near the trees. You slide in, take the aura recorder. Which gate do you go to?
I guess. Oh my God.
My God.
So the one directly opposite of where they all are. So if we start at the, not the one on top there. That
I
just
see the
activated
one, yeah, right across. Okay, great. All right, so you slide up there. Let's get your pawn right there. We're all friends here.
Okay, let me hold on.
I'm all right, Buggles. I can see Buggles holding the rope.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh God. I don't know where I put myself.
Oh come on.
I see you.
I'm having a hard time.
There you go.
It's too dark.
Oh my gosh. Do we go under the trees?
Oh whoa.
Oh that's
so cool. That is so freaking cool.
Boundary.
Boundary.
You extend the aura recorder and you stick it through that gate. I think Fionnour said it takes, six to 18 seconds.
Really? Oh.
You hold it there and you know that time of the alarm is going to run out. Buggles arm, maybe it's getting weak. Yeah. The rope is so
very
heavy.
Weak. I'm a weak little goblin.
You hold it there. 6 seconds pass. Nothing. 12 seconds pass. Nothing. 18 seconds pass, and suddenly the bulb at the end kind of looks like a mace head, lights up like a torch. Several different lights, predominantly purple, though a few other of the bulbs start to glow faintly.
All right, I think these might be real. Well, I don't say that because I see it happen, and now let's go, let's go. I got the measurement.
And we'll see you next week.
Oh! I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Can we do it?
Yeah.
The alarm's still going off. The ball is still getting hacked
up. So we made
up.
It out safely. Got it.
Yeah.
Got to 3 days later.
Next episode, we start the caravanserai. All right.
All right.
Good one.
It's time to make your membership official. Become an official member of the NAISH today at jointhenaish.com. That's jointhenaish.com, where you'll get access to exclusive podcasts and live streams you can't find anywhere else. See what everybody's talking about and join the NAISH today at jointhenaish.com.